TKO.
From Lights Out Productions.
From the website of 1320WILS.com, I'm Brad.
And I'm his brother Jason. With us, as always, is Honest Rob.
What's up, party people?
All right, today on the TKO, we're going to do a review of UFC 130. We're also going to review the Ultimate Fighter Season 13 finale, and then we're going to preview UFC 131 that's going to be coming up on June 11th. So to kick things off, Brad, UFC 130, the headline fight being Rampage Jackson versus Matt Hamill.
Yeah.
Kind of unbelievable that got to be a headline fight, but, you know, there was some injuries, so got to take what the UFC gives you, I guess, there. Rampage Jackson comes away with the unanimous decision win, but wasn't exactly stellar in his performance.
That's just, you know, everything kind of sucked about that fight.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt Hamill, if you can't take someone down, you have to have a plan B. And there was no plan B there. Rampage just didn't look like he had that killer instinct to me. You know, looked like he could have finished him a couple times, but didn't complain about a fractured hand at the end of the fight. Like, you know, most fighters always complain about something. But, I mean, even more than that, he didn't look aggressive. He counterpunched the entire night. He never initiated anything.
I completely agree. It seemed like every time he would get Hamill hurt, and there were a couple times where you look like, oh, you know, Hamill's about to go down. Mm-hmm. You know, this could be over. And then Rampage would step back.
Yeah.
And you just say, why?
It didn't make any sense. It was completely boring and unworthy of a headline, which I thought originally it was unworthy of a headline.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just kind of proved it. They're still talking about Rampage. Might be the next title contender, though, for John Jones.
Yeah, I don't see that being an interesting fight at this point.
No.
You know, I mean, given the performance that Rampage just had, given the fact that he, in the past, hasn't really been interested in a title shot and seems to be more interested in his movie career, I'm not real interested in seeing him challenge John Jones for the belt.
Without him being able to finish a fight, exactly what you guys are just talking about, I completely agree. I mean, how does he expect to take on the probably, well, maybe one of the most athletic fighters in the UFC if Rampage won't jump on those opportunities to finish fights?
And that's what they seem to be putting all this on is, you know, stylistically it would be a good fight. No, I don't think so. Not to mention, if you look at Matt Hamill, okay, what did John Jones do to Matt Hamill?
What didn't he do to Matt Hamill?
He murdered Matt Hamill, even though he ended up technically losing the fight. And then Rampage gets a decision win over Matt Hamill, really? I mean, if you look at it from that point of view, tell me how this fight is going to go.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, he stands no chance. I would much rather see Rashad Evans fight John Jones than Rampage Jackson. Really, I
honestly, I'd rather see a handful of 205ers. I'd rather see probably Shogun. I'd rather see Lyoto Machida.
You'd rather see fight John Jones?
Yeah.
You'd rather see Shogun fight John Jones again?
Than Rampage, yeah.
Well, that's just because you don't like Rampage. Shogun didn't have this. Wow!
I don't think Rampage is going to put up much of a fight at all against John Jones.
Shogun didn't put up much of a fight against John Jones.
That's true, but I think Rampage is going to do less.
I'd rather see Machida. I think that would stylistically.
I think Machida would be a good fight.
I think that's a good fight. He needs another win, but you know who knows what's going to happen now.
I'd rather see Tito Ortiz versus John Jones. That's what I'd rather see.
Stop! You're turning your microphone off for saying that. You know, but it's the UFC has really become a soap opera lately. More so than, you know, fighters going at it because there's so many storylines going on with injuries. I'm hearing now that Rashad isn't going to face Phil Davis. I guess injuries.
Yeah, Dana White came out and said that. He mentioned that there's been a lot of injuries, and then he said Rashad isn't going to be fighting Phil Davis. So I don't know if it was injury-related or if he's just backing out or what.
And that's a shame, too, because we talked about it, I think, before, but I think Rashad, that'd be a great bounce back for Rashad would be to come back and take care of Phil Davis, no problem.
And a good step up for Phil Davis if he was able to get it done.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a huge step for any fighter in that division to beat Rashad.
So, I mean, I don't really know. I mean, this picture of the light heavyweight division is so fuzzy right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really no way of who's better than who and who's facing who at what point. I mean, it's just all messed up right now. So hopefully, you know, some of these fighters start to get, you know, healed and maybe we can start seeing some actual numbers here about who's first, who's contending, you know, kind of, because right now everything is just up in the air.
It's just sort of jumbled at the top there in the light heavyweight division.
Yeah.
In the heavyweight division, that's the next fight down the card, was Frank Mir versus Roy Nelson. Not really that close of a fight. Frank Mir gets the unanimous decision, 30-27 from two judges, 30-26 from another judge. Mm-hmm. Roy Nelson just, and I've been pretty impressed with Roy Nelson in his past few fights, and he just did not seem to have it tonight.
Well, this is where I get to say what I've been waiting to say for so long. I told you so. I've never been on Roy Nelson's bandwagon, and I stand true that he is just not that great of a fighter. The man's got an awesome chin. I will give you that, because there was a good 9 knees that should have knocked him out.
He took a bunch
of
knees.
But, you know, and I was really proud that Dana White came out afterwards and said that, you know, that Roy Nelson basically was embarrassing his fighting performance and his physique. And, you know, I really think that when you are in the UFC and this is your job, this is what you do to make a living, I really do think that you should take a little bit more pride in the way you look. And to me, if you look like that, you're not eating right, you're not training right. He was gassed after the first round.
Yeah, he was. But the only thing I can say in his defense for that is that it had been working for him.
Had been.
Yeah, had
Imagine
been.
Imagine Roy Nelson, though, at 205.
Oh, yeah. He'd be
because
a monster.
He could easily cut that fight.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
With that chin, he could withstand blows from a guy like John Jones.
And he's got good power, too. I mean, you don't think about Roy Nelson really as a big hitter, but he's got some good power in his hands, and he's got great jiu-jitsu.
Destroy Struve.
Well, yeah.
I could destroy Struve, but, I mean, the thing
That's
is...
a different note. Yeah.
But, you know, he does have power. I mean, he has a good jiu-jitsu game, and I think that's actually his strength. You know, if you're going to point to one thing about what would win him fights, I think it's his strength. That overhand right that he has is... I mean, it will put you to sleep real quick.
I would think in those heavier divisions that the jiu-jitsu is actually more beneficial to his fighting style, you know, just because it doesn't seem like the heavier guys get that, you know, like all the light guys, they've all got jiu-jitsu backgrounds, you know, and it seems like the heavier guys just don't. They're all boxers.
Well,
you know?
The only thing about being that heavy is that you have to get him down to the ground. And that's a point where his height becomes an issue. Because, you know, almost every fighter in heavyweight division is taller than him, you know, and it is hard to get guys that are taller than you, and they're not necessarily heavier than him because he's got that gut.
Yeah.
But
even consider Frank Mir. Roy Nelson is 6'0", Frank Mir is 6'3", and we don't consider Frank Mir to be one of the huge guys in that division.
No, he's not.
And you've got a great point. He comes down to 205, though. All the guys at 205 are 6'0", 6'1".
Well, I mean,
perfect weight.
Tell me, you think Roy Nelson's going to be able to take down Brock Lesnar or Shane Carwin? I mean, I don't see it happening.
No.
But if he dropped down a weight class, I think he would be a monster.
Yeah, like, I think so, too.
You know, I would like to see it, you know, because really, like I said, I just don't feel that he's a great fighter. That's just my personal opinion on it. But, you know, I think that part of it is due to the weight class. I will give it that he has power in his hands and that he does have good jiu-jitsu. And those things are essential. And if he can put the work ethic into it, I saw the potential in him to be a really good fighter. I just don't think he's there right now.
He's just got to drop that weight, I think, and you know, really buckle down and get serious about it.
Yeah.
Another guy who needs to either shape up or ship out is Stefan Struve. He had a fight on this card. Stefan Struve fought Travis Brown.
Ooh, that knockout.
Yeah, Travis Brown hit him with a Superman punch in the first round and just knocked Stefan Struve straight off his feet. It was...
Jenga.
It was awesome to see.
Struve is a human highlight reel in the wrong way.
he's the posterized child, not the poster child.
Wow. Yeah. You know, and not to, you know, go back to this, but I remember some people on this show, I'm not going to name names, were all about Stefan Struve, and I never thought he was that great. And he's not. I'm sorry.
He's not a great fighter. I think the height is appealing. You know, he looks like he could be a good fighter, and he's got a really good record. I think he's a 24-5 or something. Mm. So, I mean, he's got a good record, and he's got the height that makes him look menacing, but he's not putting it together in
he's
the cage.
He's a gentle giant.
Yeah, he really
is. You know,
is.
He would be, it's, you know what, he should check out basketball. You know, maybe that's more of his sport.
Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't look real coordinated. I don't know. Even at 6'11", I don't know.
The Netherlands team, I'm sure, could use him.
So, yeah, I mean, I just, like I said, the height you'd think would be a big thing, but I just don't think it's really doing too much. I don't think he has the power. He has the jiu-jitsu, but then again, in that weight class, jiu-jitsu is, you know, you got to get him down first. Mm-hmm. And when you're that tall but skinny, I don't see him taking...
He did put on some weight for this fight. I noticed that, but still.
He was last listed at 255, which I think is
I think he weighed in for this one at 255, but I think prior to that, he was down around 240. So.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that seems like a gain. And fun fact for you, this is mostly for Jason. Struve had lost to Christian Umpumbu back on December 7th of 2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Umpumbu fought heavyweight?
Umpumbu fought Struve in, let's see, Star of... It's a foreign name. So I, but that was on December 7th of 2007. So.
It doesn't say the weight class though. Huh? I'm curious what Umpumbu fought at because he doesn't cut weight to get to light heavyweight even.
Yeah, well, you know, weight divisions are different. Yeah, different, you know, fight categories around the world. So hard to say, but yeah, Umpumbu, there you go.
I did his thing. another fight on the card that was pretty impressive was Thiago Alves versus Rick Story. Rick Story comes away with the unanimous decision 29-28. I did not really see that coming.
No, I didn't either. But really, a lot of people want to put Story on the fast track to a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not buying that. I think that more or less what this fight tells us is that Alves needs to work on his wrestling because that's his kryptonite. Whenever he fights a wrestler, he loses.
Yeah.
It's that simple because everyone knows all you have to do is take him down. So that's something that he needs to work on moving forward. Because hardly anyone in that weight class can mess with him as far as hands go or as far as kicks. No one as far as kicks go.
Yeah.
You can argue maybe hands, GSP might be better, you know, but as far as kicks, no one's messing with him. But everyone knows how to beat him. It's just like Dan Hardy. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows how to beat him. You just take him down.
Yep.
You know, which I'm not trying to take anything away from Rick Story's wrestling. It's good. But yeah, I think Thiago Alves needs to go back. He can't fight wrestlers and expect to win. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I think Rick Story is going to have a few more fights before he gets any type of title talk. I think I saw something. His next fight, I believe, is going to be against Nate Marquardt. So it's not like they're really fast-tracking him or anything. I mean, he's going to fight.
I know he called out Fitch at the end of that fight. I don't know if that's actually going to happen. It's kind of one of those things. I think they still need to figure out what's going to happen between Fitch and BJ Penn maybe before they give Story the fight.
Yeah.
But I know he said he thinks that he can out-wrestle Fitch. So
interesting.
When you come out and say something like that,
yeah.
And you know the UFC loves it when fighters call out other fighters.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think if Story wins another one and they sort out this BJ Penn Fitch situation, I think we could see that in the near future here. And I really would be interested in seeing that fight.
Yeah, that'd be a good one, I think.
Usually I'm not all about seeing Fitch. He's kind of the Tim Duncan
of
the MMA world.
I could see that.
Very boring to watch, but gets the win.
Yeah, he's pretty boring most of the time. But yeah, him against Rick Story I think would be a good matchup of the wrestling there. A quick note, something I did forget to mention just a second ago, Travis Brown did get knockout of the night at that event.
Should've.
Yeah, it was crazy. The fight that got fight of the night was Brian Stann versus Jorge Santiago, or George Santiago, sorry.
Amazing fight.
Yeah, the best fight of the night, for sure.
That was a great fight. And Brian Stann is looking like one of the quickly rising stars of the UFC.
And it's funny because, you know, his days in WEC, he was kind of a one-trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, just, you know, being with a new camp and everything like that. I mean, he's just, every time you see him, he looks so much better than the last time you saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't even looked bad thus far, which is, you know, something worth noting. So I'm really excited to see where he's going to be going in the near future. And I think that since he is a former champion from WEC, they may actually fast track him to a title shot.
They could, yeah.
You know, and I would be interested to see it. And, you know, from all the interviews I've seen, he's just a really nice guy.
Yeah, everything he said, he's a good poster child for the sport. I mean, everything he gets on camera and says is just perfect.
Yeah, really.
He's
really
just a really good, you know, poster child. I use that term, you know, for the sport.
Mm-hmm.
The only other fight I think on this card we really need to mention is Gleison Tibau fought Rafaelo Oliveira and ended up getting submission of the night, kind of by default. I think that was the only submission of the night
rear naked choke.
That happened at all. Yeah, so he got the rear naked choke and ended up winning submission of the night. So good job to Gleison, I guess.
Yeah, he's kind of one of those fighters, kind of up and down.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, a gatekeeper type of guy.
Yeah,
I think, you know?
If he could actually string a couple wins together, might actually be able to make a run. But he's just a win two, lose one. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he needs to consistently win. He's so big for that weight class.
Yeah.
Though. I mean, he's a huge. I think they said he cuts like 40 pounds for every fight. I mean,
just to kind of go on that, Brad, actually, I just took a look at T-Bow's record here. It's very interesting. It's up and down. In the past, it looks like 3 years, he's never been able to string together more than two wins. He's lost to Jim Miller Melvin Gillard, Joe Stevenson, and Tyson Griffin. But he has beat Jeremy Stevens. He's beat Kurt Pellegrino. He's beat Kao Uno. He's beat Josh Neer. You know, so I mean, he's had some good wins, and then he's had some not so good performances.
He's right there in the middle. You know, like he loses to the real good guys and beats the ones he should beat. You know, it's like if he can just
gatekeeper.
Yeah, good. I like that gatekeeper. Yeah, he's got to step up the training. You know, obviously what he's doing right now isn't working. Mm-hmm. So you know he's got to change something up in the camp, and you know. Try to heat that up a little bit and string more than just a couple wins together.
Yeah, if he can do that, I think he could be a contender at that weight class. But right now, he's got to put some work in, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Moving on, we're going to take a look at the Ultimate Fighter Season 13 finale that happened on June 4th. The headline fight was Tony Ferguson versus Ramsey Nijem. They were the two finalists from the season. Mm-hmm. Ramsey Nijem from Team Dos Santos and then Tony Ferguson from Team Lesnar. Yeah. And this fight did not go the way I expected it to at all, because Ramsey is the wrestler. Mm-hmm. Tony Ferguson was the striker. You know, they get into the fight, and all of a sudden, Tony Ferguson is out-wrestling Ramsey. Ramsey's out-striking Tony. It was crazy.
And I know you were a huge Ramsey Nijem fan.
I was.
Halfway through the season, you picked him to go to the finals and win the whole thing. And I'm not sure a lot of people really thought at the beginning that Tony, you know, was going to be the guy to make it to the finals, but he did, and really put Ramsey to sleep.
Yeah.
Really, I'm interested moving forward to see what his career is going to be like, though, because he kind of hurt his image a lot.
He really did in that.
When he got drunk on The Ultimate Fighter and started talking about one of the fighter's kids. I really liked Tony before that, and then kind of afterwards, I wasn't really a fan.
I don't think anybody was a fan after that.
So, I mean, it's just kind of like one of those. I wonder if he's going to be one of those fighters that people love to hate, no matter what.
Yeah, I guess that could be.
I mean, and it's definitely a possibility. You know, yeah, it could be one of those things that a year from now, no one really remembers. Mm-hmm. You know, that he said that he was just a really good fighter, but you know, it kind of marred his
image.
Yeah, right now for being the Ultimate Fighter. You know?
One thing you can't argue for him going up though is he's got a lot of potential.
He really does.
He's a good fighter. He's fairly young anyway. I think he's like 27.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's got some growing to do. But,
and he's from Michigan.
And he is from Michigan. But, knockout in the first round to get himself a UFC contract. I mean, kid's got potential.
Definitely. And like I said, his hands are nice.
Yeah.
He showed in the fight that, you know, his wrestling is good too, you know, which you didn't really get to see much of on the show.
You didn't really expect that coming out of him.
Yeah.
Somebody whose prospects has taken a bit of a turn for the worse here is Anthony Showtime Pettis. He had a fight on this card against Clay Guida. And Clay Guida comes out, gets the unanimous decision, wins three rounds, 30-27, just taking him down and not really doing much damage, but holding him there.
I don't even want to talk about this fight. Everyone knows Anthony Pettis. That's my boy. And, wow. And the thing is, I actually am a Clay Guida fan, but I was disappointed in this performance. Talk about Tim Duncan. My gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's one of those things where I understand why he did it, because you want to get the win. That's the important thing. But it's just like,
you want to get the cage kicked to the face. That's
it was such a boring fight, you know. And there was a few times where it got exciting. And why did it get exciting? Because Anthony Pettis got a little room to breathe, you know.
Yeah, and tried to throw up a submission or something.
Everything that Anthony Pettis does is exciting, mm-hmm. you know. And it's like, I mean, to Dana White, I just wonder, like, Clay Guida's talking about getting the title shot now. Did that performance really get him in the picture? I mean, it's just like, you got to weigh what really gets people going, you know?
As far as being a fan-pleasing performance, I don't think it was. But as far as moving him up in the lightweight division, I think it does. I mean, you're talking about Anthony Showtime Pettis was probably going to get the next title shot if he won this fight. And now Clay Guida, you know, beat him three rounds, you know, not even close. So, I mean, that's got to put him in the title hunt.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I wanted to see more. It was boring all around. And
it was boring, but it was a decisive win nonetheless, you know? I mean, not exactly a fan-pleasing fight, but yeah, there's no question who won that
fight. I wouldn't have had a problem if Clay Guida would have actually done something once he got the takedown, you know, mm-hmm. but he was surfing the entire fight, and that to me has no place in the sport.
He was trying to neutralize a lot. It seemed like Pettis was attacking a lot with submissions off of his back, and Clay Guida was just sort of defending a lot.
Which kind of brings us to something that me and Jason talked about the other day, that jiu-jitsu and MMA is not really scored like, say, wrestling is. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about the Miguel Angel Torres fight, where he was getting taken down but, you know, he was throwing up submissions. He was very busy from his back, and the guy who was taking him down wasn't really doing too much. Mm-hmm. But because he got the takedowns, he would win, you know. And it's something that really should be, you know, if one guy's on his back and he's continuously working to do something and the guy on top isn't doing anything, well, shouldn't he be getting points for working, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like the judges score it that way.
Yeah.
But, I think it should be. I mean, you saw that in the Demetrius Johnson versus Miguel Angel Torres fight where, you know, he's getting taken down continually,
yeah,
and they keep scoring the takedowns,
right,
but they're not scoring the submission attempts that Torres was doing.
Yeah,
so.
And if you're on top and you're working, I'm fine. Okay, mm-hmm, then you should get more points. But if you're just sitting there,
yeah,
you know, hoping that you don't get a submission slapped on you, I would give it to the guy that was on bottom but working,
yeah,
you know. So, moving forward, you know, it would be very hard to... I mean, I think the MMA is still in the point right now where they're still figuring things out. You know, I mm-hmm really don't think that we've seen the end of rule changes and everything like that. I think in the next couple of years, we're going to see some things shift around.
There's still a lot
bit
of questionable decisions coming down, and I think all that's going to get sort of worked out in the,
yeah,
next, you know, 5 years or so. There'll be some rule, you know, changes, tweaks, and we'll get the scoring nailed down pretty,
right,
good. So, hopefully that'll be something that's considered. I want to talk about one fighter who actually took a really big step up in my eyes coming off the show.
Woo!
Yeah, Chris Cope with his woo fought Chuck O'Neill in the finale and looked really good. Throughout the whole season, I was not a Chris Cope fan. I kept thinking, how in the world is this guy winning? He's not,
yeah,
that talented. He just seems to sort of stumble through these fights and, you know, end up with a decision somehow. He looked really good.
And it's going to pain me to say this, but yes, he did look good because I do not like Chris Cope. However... me being the negative Nancy I am.
Always negative.
Chuck O'Neill looked horrible.
He really did.
I mean, talk about a step down after the season. He was someone that I thought looked really good during the season.
Yeah.
I was happy he got the wild card. You know, I was really happy with the wins that he got, but he just looked...
he looked drunk. He looked like he was,
yeah,
stumbling around the cage drunk,
really,
for three rounds.
It was back to Trash Bag Charlie, you know?
It was.
It wasn't Cold Steel.
It was not Cold Steel.
So, maybe he needs to go back to the drawing board. But I will give credit where credit is due. Chris Cope did look good.
Yeah, Chris Cope looked good. Another guy who looked good, Kyle Kingsbury, another Ultimate Fighter alum there, came on, had a fight again.
Looked good. Are we talking pre-fight then?
Hey, he got the win. It was a close,
yeah,
it was a close fight. I mean, they were both beaten up on it. It was Kyle Kingsbury versus Fabio Maldonado, which is an awesome name, by the way.
Yes.
But it was back and forth. These two guys were brawling. It was a really good
fight.
That
was a great fight.
That actually ended up getting fight of the night on that card.
Up.
Yeah, and those two guys were just brawling.
And
Kyle Kingsbury put on a good performance, got the 29-28 decision.
You probably need to go to the hospital after that, though.
Mostly. I think they both probably did. That was, there
were
some bombs thrown.
See, Clay Guida should have taken notes. That's a fight.
Definitely. I mean, Kyle Kingsbury seemed to have this clinch that Fabio just didn't know what to do with.
Yeah.
And, you know, after the first round and a half-ish, he finally figured out, I could do shots to the body when he gets me in the clinch. So every time there was a knee in this clinch, you'd get two shots to the body of Kyle Kingsbury. They were just,
yeah,
beating the hell out of each other.
It was a great fight, though. All right, that's going to do it for us here on Segment 1. Make sure you guys tune into Segment 2. We're going to be previewing UFC 131, some great fights on that card, and we're going to be going through and making our picks, let you know who we think is going to win. So make sure you guys tune in for Segment 2.